Okay, we're going to start now. The truly blessed by the worship this morning, the time with the Lord, the heart, especially what was said at the very first, especially regarding Peter stepping out of the boat. That is a choice that we all can make. Need to make on a daily basis. As we begin here, let's do pray for the Lord's blessing that He would speak. Yes, Father, we ask Your Holy Spirit to have His way and to open our ears and our hearts to hear and to see Jesus, to hear the living Word, and that is all that is necessary. And You are faithful to bring Your Word about, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn over to Luke chapter 22, if you will. I was telling Carolyn that just as Ben can't get out of, is it Jehu? I can't get off this called and chosen. I'm hoping and praying that you all are blessed by it. And we'll move on here. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. And you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And here, remember, he's talking to the disciples, those that are closest to him, those who are his friends, those who are his companions, which I think we take lightly sometimes, the word companion. Be careful of who you call your friend. Be careful of who you call your companion. Jesus had 12 and one of them turned against him. So here we have those who stood by him in his trials. And he says, you stand by me in my trials. He's going to grant a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And I was thinking about that today, and my goodness, when you're that close to Jesus, you're in his kingdom, aren't you? We're in his kingdom, and we're eating, and we're tasting the goodness of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what the trials are that come our way when we're companions and partakers of Jesus. It doesn't really matter about the circumstances. We are with Jesus. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the King on our hearts. And I know there's more in that, but I just see that as only if you're that close to Jesus, you're friends with Jesus in this way, all we're looking at is Jesus. Amen? We're just seeing him, and things come and things go. But our eyes are on Jesus, and that's where they need to be. So these were his closest companions and disciples. And remember the calling. The calling is there for the response of our hearts. There's the general call, and there has to be a response. That is the expectation. And the general call is to everyone. God does not put out a call for specifics or favorites, as I have mentioned before. There is a general call, and the Bible is very specific on that. There is a calling, and it's for whosoever will give their heart to that call and come into fellowship with Him. And remember the passage in 2 Chronicles where the eyes of the Lord run to and fro for whosoever's heart is toward him. And that continues. And the calling was always and continues to be always intended for whosoever will take up their cross and follow Jesus. It doesn't stop at the initial, yes, Lord. It doesn't stop there. We know that. But it was always from the very beginning of time that whoever accepted the call would come into closer and closer fellowship with the Lord and take up their cross daily and follow him. There's no buts or maybes or compromises that the Lord expects. He expects everyone who receives that call to take up their cross daily and follow him. He expects that. And let's look at that passage in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. None of this is new, but I just feel there's still some that are needing to hear this. In verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That is the goal, that is the expectation of the Lord. If you're going to follow Jesus, then you're expected to take up your cross daily and follow him. And we see above that which he has to go through. He's going to be rejected by the elders and chief priests. He's going to be killed. And then verse 24, for whoever wishes to save his life or soul shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his soul or himself? And then he talks more about whoever's ashamed of him. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. But the follow here in verse 23, you know, it's one thing to say, well, I love Jesus, but it's another thing to love Jesus and follow him, isn't it? The follow is to be in the same way. To be in the same way. To accompany. So to be in the way of Jesus, in the way that he goes. So we see the trials and the testings, and it was a blessing because I think I'm in agreement with what Mallory talked about this morning. Is many times we say, well, Jesus could do it because he was Jesus, and he was able to do that stuff. And Peter, well, he was right there with him, and he knew he had special powers and things, but Jesus didn't utilize his powers and as God when he was on this earth. He had to go through the things that we cannot even fathom. The things that he went through, the rejection that he went through. We don't have a clue unless the Holy Spirit shows us of what he did and how he suffered for our sake. And taking on the sins of the world, taking on the sins of those that we hear on the news that are the worst of the worst in our eyes, that he even forgave them and is willing for them to come to him. The call is for even them. And the call doesn't miss anyone. The call is there for those that have the hearing of the ears and the hearts to come. And so the taking up the cross daily, though, was always in mind. And so when Peter stepped out of that boat, he didn't have angels holding him up. He stepped out in faith, and faith is still the key to the message of the cross. It is by faith, isn't it? It's by faith. And so as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on that water. But the minute he looked at the earth, that around him, the circumstances, the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus and started saying, hey, this is pretty bad out here, or look at me, what I'm doing, and then he sunk. And I was reading a little bit in, I think it was one of the, probably Chambers, about Jesus probably had ministering angels at times, but we all do, and we don't have a clue that the angels are there for us, ministering angels. And just because we can't see them or feel them, all the stuff that all the trouble that we're kept out of, you think you got trouble now, just think if we didn't have the Lord and his ministering spirits and ministering angels, it'd be horrible. But the 12, or these that he's talking to here, it's with expectation. It's necessary to take up the cross daily. And these are the ones that were with him during his temptations, his trials, the tough times. And so then a question came to my mind this week on how is yours and my obedience going? How is our obedience going? How's that going? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's start at verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And so, even though he was a son, he had to learn obedience from the things which he suffered. So we could say, well, yeah, it's hot outside, and it was hot where Jesus lived, so we're suffering. And there's trials and tribulations. I can't get a job, and Jesus got hungry. Oh, that's such a trial. But I don't believe that's what he's talking about, is it? He learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and this suffering here, it is painful. It's painful, and it was painful for Jesus. And how can we expect anything less for ourselves? And we are still immature and babes, if we were questioning why does stuff happen to us, even when we were knowing Christ and making declarations for him and going quote-unquote all the way with him, but yet we cry and moan and wonder, why is God letting this happen to me? It's no different from a child. We're trying to do our best, and we've started praying more and started reading our Bible more, and then all this stuff happens, comes on us. Why, God? Why me? Well, that's the problem, is me is getting in the way. Me is expecting things to become better because we're trying to manipulate God. And we're just deceiving ourselves. And that's still in the immature baby state. And if you watch any of the little kids around here, they express outwardly what we express inwardly.
That's right.
It's very clear, you know. Me, me, me. It's all about me. And this, no one is immune from this, no matter how long you've been in Christ. Hopefully, as we grow in Christ, and the longer we're keeping our hearts toward Him to know Him, there's less of the me and more of the Him. Amen. I want us to turn over to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment. And recall what Jesus did say about this suffering, what his expectation is with regards to suffering. Matthew 5, we'll start at verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Remember, it's persecuted on account of him. It's a false persecution. It has nothing to do with earthiness, with the earth. It has nothing to do with this. We're in a spiritual kingdom now. Yes. And if you're trying with, if your heart is for the Lord and you're taking up your cross daily to the best of your ability by the Spirit of God, things are going to come against you. And because it's a spiritual battle that we're in. And he says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. Well, he's not talking about someday down the pike. He's talking about right now. Great is your reward. Your reward is Christ himself living in you. And we're talking about a kingdom here, the kingdom of God. And he rules and reigns. Imagine the peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of the persecution and being falsely accused, and yet we're so quick to stand up for our rights and say, that's not fair. I didn't do anything. Well, neither did Jesus. Yet he opened not his mouth. And so this is the type of persecution that Jesus is talking about. Don't listen to man. Don't listen to your mind that has these ideas. Listen to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God by Christ. And be conformed to His image and not the images that we make up or are taught. So then I had some general thoughts getting back to cold. And to answer the general call, which is the calling out to all. There's that call to all. Is what a lot of believers, the answering of that is what a lot of believers call their salvation experience. That's their salvation experience. Yes, I answered and I came to Christ. And yes, that is true. But that's not the end of it, is it? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1. We'll go back over this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called into fellowship through Jesus Christ our Lord with his Son. God is faithful. God is always faithful, isn't he? And that is the calling. And so I've got down here earthy, and the calling is out. And the calling has been out. And those that answer the call are brought into fellowship with his Son. Are brought into fellowship with his Son. Those who answer the call. But it doesn't stop there, does it? What happens after the initial answering of the call? What happens? Well, that is up to us, isn't it? Because if you say no, there's more, then you're denying the cross of Christ, that it was a completed work. God's done everything that he needed to do. The calling is there, and it's for those whosoever will. So the answer, the part of God is done, and he has brought us into fellowship with his Son. From that point on, it's up to the believer's heart. What do you do then? And Romans, turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're brought into fellowship. Romans chapter 8. And we'll come back to that, to this part here. I just love this. Oh, man. Remember the verse, look at verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. Ah, we're getting too specific there. Let's go to verse 30 for a moment. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That's the answering of the general call. Right there, both of those called words. That is the answering. Those that answer that calling are justified. It's done, isn't it? Amen? Are y'all all right with that? Okay. He's predestined it. You answer the call, you're in. You're in fellowship with his Son. Okay? And so the general call, and then turn over to, let's see if I want you to hold your place here. You can hold your place here. We'll be back here too, but turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 15. And for this reason, He is the mediator of a new covenant, in order that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The answering of the call. God's done it. God has completed his work, and those who answer that call may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I just continue to be awed at the power of his word and the specifics of his word, because there's too many that are complacent with what they have received, are complacent with it is enough that it's Jesus and me now, that I have my Jesus and I can go on with my life, and that is not the gospel. That is not what Paul preached or any of them. There is an ongoing work that must take place, and it's on behalf. It's back in the believer's hands. Not to work any, but to have a heart that continues to want to know the Lord in a real living way. God the Father never intended mixture or half-heartedness, and in fact, he hates it. He never intended that. When he put out the call and the call is received and responded to, there was never an issue of acceptance of compromise. And we see that all through the Old Testament. You cannot compromise Jesus. You cannot sit on the fence. You cannot have some of the earth and some of the Lord and get along. The two don't mix. It's like light and darkness. Amen? And we see that in Revelation 3:16, where I think it's the church at Philadelphia was lukewarm. And he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He hates that. He hates lukewarmness. He hates riding the fence. The 1828 Webster says moderately warm or lukewarm, but what I really like, this is not zealous, indifferent, lukewarm obedience. Amen? So that's pretty serious. And so then another thought I had was the called in other places is getting this Greek word more specific. And here we're in the heavenlies, we're in Christ. I'm not going to draw a circle. But there is this more specific word called, and it's vocationally, and it's more specific. And those are all that have responded to Jesus as God's Son, but according to God, the Lord, our Father, all these, including us, have a vocation. And that's what this word here is bringing out. There is a calling, and it's not to be a pastor or a teacher or a preacher. It's not to do stuff. The vocation is very clear. It's that we are to be nothing and Christ is to be all. That's the vocation. That's what we're called into, is we come to a place where Christ is our all and in all. Now, the doing of it is an automatic outworking, just as fruit comes forth out of the vine. That's a whole different deal. And that's a progression. But let's continue on in 1 Corinthians. Point this out to go back over this a little bit. You know, so many times, and I've done it. What am I going to do with my life now that I'm seeing Jesus? And what about this? And what about that? And there's just so many questions out there and wonderings. And he's wrecked my life because I don't have the same goals anymore. And my whole life is in turmoil. And my whole life is upset. And what about this? And what about that? And then I was doing that, and it was finally like the Holy Spirit says, shut up and just hear my voice. And just believe and follow me. And that's what we have to do. And it's not us trying to figure it out. And And when your heart is towards him in that way, he just takes you along. You're following Jesus, so he takes you right along the way, every step. He's right there. And even when it doesn't look like it, things in the earth are blowing up and stuff, he's right there. He's living in you. He's with you. He's got you right. And you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of the universe in charge. My goodness, does it get any better than that? And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start at verse 26, or we'll look at that one. For consider your calling. There it is. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble. Boy, that fits us, doesn't it? We're right there. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And then look at verse 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And I really like that, because this was, well, hold that place and look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Oh, we're right there. Paul said, for I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was Paul's vocation. A vocation is that which you do and what you're caught up with in life. Paul was caught up in knowing Christ and him crucified. That was what Paul was caught up with. Now, what he did with it was a result. It was Christ calling him to preach the gospel. But that was an automatic. He had to know the Lord first in a real way. And he was, that was his determination on a daily basis. He took up his cross daily to know Jesus. And so that was, I've got here, that was Paul's first and most important vocation. I mean, what good is it if to preach this stuff if you're not knowing it? And not allowing it to work in you? Or what good is it to go out and tell people about the love of Christ if you and yourself don't even know the love of Christ? I've read that Jesus loves me. I'm going to go tell somebody what I read here, because it's good. It sounds good. It's got to be real. It's got to be real and working in you. And then turn back to Romans 8 a moment. Romans 8. Verse 28. This is one I read earlier, but I wanted to come back to this because it even is getting more specific. We know that God causes all things. Or should it read, God causes some things? No, he said all things. In fact, the true Greek on that says, we know that God causes all to work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. This is those that are appointed. This is for the saint. This is for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. The problem that we have is we think the good is earthy. We think he's talking about the earthy stuff. And yet we're supposed to be living in a spiritual realm where it's not I but Christ. And here we have to see it from the heavenly view, from God's view. The good is for his purpose. Therefore, the good is for our purpose because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. I mean, we say it is, but you know, the saying of it and the living of it is two different things, isn't it? It says, oh, it's just about Jesus and me. It's all about Jesus as long as I'm comfortable and not persecuted too hard. In fact, let me choose some ways to be persecuted. I'll choose them for righteousness' sake. Amen? But this is a more specific even. So it's like getting closer and closer to knowing, to allowing Christ to live in you, that it's just Jesus. And it's, notice there it says, to those who love God, to those who are the called. Again, you love God. What kind of love? It's agape love. It's Jesus love. It's the Christ. We love him because it's Christ in us who loves him. And so it therefore doesn't really matter. He causes all things to work together for the good, for his good, and therefore for our best, because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay? The good is for God's purposes and not our flesh. I notice in 1 Corinthians, we're over in Romans. Let's turn back to that 1 Corinthians 1. There's a whole series on Corinthians that has been shared, but here in verse 24, but to those who are the called, that's the specific, both Jews and Greeks, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek, those who are the called, who have answered the call, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. These are the ones knowing Christ crucified in the power and wisdom of God. We're not talking about just answering this calling and being happy with it. He's talking about something that is further along in knowing him to such a degree that, in fact, if you'll look at verse 23, it's we preach Christ crucified. It is those who have heard and responded on a daily basis who have answered this call and who realize Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is the ones that are even the called. The called. The nominal, general, happy-go-lucky believer who is content with just the initial response to the calling cannot take that verse that says all things work together for good. I thought all things would work together for good for me. See how it can be taken out of context. And he's not talking about that at all. He's talking about taking up your cross daily and following him to know him that he might be the preeminence in us and in all things. And then back to, we won't turn to it, but Ephesians chapter 4 shows that the on high calling is to bring the fullness of Christ in and through his body, which is made up of many members in particular. That's what Ephesians 4 and 5 are talking about, bringing in the fullness of Christ into his body and the individual members in particular. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12:27 talks about many members in particular. All are responsible in that way. All who have answered the calling. And these are they who are settled by faith. Faith is such a big thing. My goodness, isn't it? We walk by faith, not by sight. The very essence of the fact that we accept Christ is by faith. And it's through grace that we're saved, by faith. And it's by faith that he becomes the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not anything else. It's by faith. And so these are the ones in this more specific called and calling who are settled by faith. Settled by faith. That Christ is my all, and he is, and must have the preeminence. We've got to be settled. We've got to get firm on the foundation. Amen?
Yes.
And age is not a factor. Age is not a factor. We've got to go further and come along further in this standing on this firm foundation that by faith. That Christ is everything. And so to finish this statement, these are those who purpose in their hearts to enter into his rest by faith. We'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 3 a moment. You know, we are his house, and we are the temple of God, and he dwells there. But is he dwelling in a restful, peaceful house, or is it all up in turmoil because of all the wind and the waves and everything that's going on? You know, well, he's at peace, but I'm not. Hebrews 3. Verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. That's a good idea, isn't it? The apostle and high priest of our confession. Again, this word partakers, in some translation, it's called companions. Holy brethren. It's further along than just the nominal responding to the call. He's calling them holy brethren, partakers. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. And then verse 14. For we have become companions, or we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Well, with Christ, there is no beginning and there is no end. There is sure an end for us. There's an end for us. He says it right here. And there's a big if. We have become companions. Do you think Judas Iscariot was considered a companion at the end? Of Christ, with Christ. He left, didn't he? He didn't hold fast. He didn't hold firm. Here it says, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance. Firm until the end. See, here he's showing that, yes, we're companions of Christ. We're partakers of Christ if we stand firm, if we hold firm this assurance. It's not a light thing to take. It's this faith cannot be compromised. It cannot be, we can't let down. And I wish I could tell some jokes and things and lighten this up a little bit, but my goodness, there are people, this is affecting people's lives all over the world. And we must, we take it upon ourselves, the importance of remaining steadfast and holding firm this assurance, and to get our feet firm on that foundation and remain steadfast. Because, you know, With God, there's no time is not a factor, but it sure is with us, isn't it? You know, I've been in this this for quite a few years, and I still want to make sure that I stand firm and have this assurance firm until the end. And I know there's young people who are trying to decide what they're going to do with their lives, whether to follow this or do this or whatever. And the only important thing is getting set firm in Christ and saying, I am not looking to the right or to the left. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus through everything, regardless of what comes against me on this earth. And so back to the Hebrews. Let's see if I want to read another one. Verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience or apathetic unbelief. Oh my. Let's be diligent to enter into that rest by faith. If it's good enough for God, it should be good enough for us if He's our all. Amen? To enter into that rest without fretting, without saying, what about this and what about that? No, let's just enter into His rest and take up our cross daily, which is our calling, and follow Jesus. And then He takes care of the rest. Oh, there's a song about that, isn't there? He'll take care of the rest. He's going to do it. So diligence is necessary to enter into His rest. And remember the passage, Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And some of you might be saying right now, yeah, I'm one of the chosen ones. Well, you probably aren't, because only God is the one that does the picking. He chooses His Son. He chooses His Son in us. And so he can't choose us if we compromise and we're living for self some days and living for Christ other days. He can't say, yeah, I want you just like Judas. Yeah, come on. That's one on one. I want you to be with the chosen. My goodness. So it's really neither here nor there for us to even have a goal to be one of the chosen ones. All we can say is, I want Jesus. And Christ in you and I is the hope of glory, which is probably bad grammar, but that's the only hope that we have. That's the only hope of glory. All we can do, as Paul said, is run this race to lay hold of Him. To run the race. You know, I think if Peter would have gotten out and ran to Jesus, he probably would have made it. But it was an example of our day-to-day slowness of this life, isn't it? I mean, walking, running on the waves to Jesus, he wouldn't have had time to take his eyes off. But on our daily basis, it shows the example that walking takes a long time. I'd just soon go in a car, you know. It'd be faster. Or a boat. I'd stay in the boat and let's just row over to him. But all we can do is run the race, and that's really what this is all about in the heavenlies, why we're still here on this earth, is on a daily basis continuing on in this race, taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. And He's worth it. It totally amazes me that there's others, many others who have talked about called ones and chosen ones, or actually called ones. I just read a thing this morning from Oswald. And Sparks has some books, but It's very specific, and it's a blessing, and it's not just confirmation, because we shouldn't have to have confirmation about things. But there are the encouragement. Oh, and I was going to point out something here in this song we sang this morning that Scott wrote, where he says, "You have called out to me. Now to you I will come." And Scott, I'm sure that's this called here, isn't it? Yeah, that Greek word. But see, that's the thing that happens on a daily basis. God called, and we're running to him. We're making that decision. Today, I choose to come to you. You don't have to come down here to me, Lord. You don't have to come down here and take care of my circumstances. I'm coming to you, and that's enough. And so, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the life of Christ in us by your Spirit, Lord. Just pray for each and every one, including myself, that we would come to know you more. It would be more of Jesus in a real way, less of us. Lots of questions many may have that are watching or here. Some may have about their lives and what's in store, but Jesus himself told us to not worry about tomorrow. Today has enough things of its own. We're to take up our cross and follow Jesus, and that is enough. So, Lord, just bring an increase of Christ in this earth, in and through your body. It's made up of many members. And all over the world, Lord, we pray for an increase of Christ. An increase in the body of Christ. That you may get what you want and what you desire. Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.